Good morning to everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Buzz, sponsored by BeEvents.biz. I'm Jonathan Peters. I'm one of the co-founders of BeEvents.biz. Monica Cornetti is also the other co-founder, and she is on the line with us. And I want to welcome you to the Hive. I want to welcome Hive members to the call today and also to our visitors. We are on the heels of the Dallas Mega Money Speaker Weekend. It was a great, great weekend. A lot of people on their feet, working on their presentation skills. Several folks are taping their promotional videos. We had a lot of information on getting their businesses launched, and I know everybody moved up to the next level after that weekend. And then right after that, I headed out to Hawaii, and I'm actually calling you from Maui, where Monica and I are participating in a mastermind group. We had an amazing day yesterday, just us and these just some amazing, amazing people that we're hanging out with and participating with and bouncing ideas off of. And it'll be starting up again as soon as this call is over, so it's ready for a whole nother day on the mastermind. Folks, if you haven't been involved in a mastermind group, I highly, highly recommend it. You'll be hearing a lot of change in our focus for BeEvents.biz coming up. We have a lot of different offerings. As you know, things like this teleseminar will continue, and this is an example of what we offer. And as the Hive members know, we bring weekly experts to you, to both visitors and Hive members alike. For instance, we've had speakers from the Glacier Kennedy Group have spoken. We had the author of the number one best-selling Bible on social media was on the call, and today we have Gina Davis will be sharing with us personal branding. We also, at BeEvents.biz, we have other services such as our newsletter, our major weekends. We're launching our speakerpreneur curriculum. And we also, last weekend, announced our new certification program. And as well as Hive members, you'll be hearing from me as an opportunity to be involved in our compilation book. At the end of today's call, I'm going to invite visitors to join with the Hive, and I also have a special program to offer listeners to today's call. This is an audio program about branding because that's what Gina will be sharing with us today. So it's several other resources for those of you. And that's, again, the program today is how to create your personal brand. And Gina Davis will be sharing with us. She is a certified professional coach, inspirational speaker, and author. She works with business and corporate women who are on the fast track to taking their career and lives to the next level. After 18 years of working in marketing, communication, and brand management for the entertainment, retail, and consumer products industries, and after owning her own successful marketing communication agency for 7 years, Gina decided to take all the knowledge she has learned and formed True Synergy, a professional coaching and consulting boutique. She started that in 2010. I want to welcome you, Gina, to the call, and thank you for being with us today. Let's get it started, Gina. Tell us about personal branding. How do we define it? What is personal branding?
Well, first I want to say thank you so much, Jonathan, for having me on this morning. I am thrilled to be here with you and your listeners and to talk to you a little bit about personal branding. Well, first off, the definition of personal branding is it's the process by which individuals and entrepreneurs, they basically differentiate themselves and how they stand out from a crowd by basically identifying and articulating their unique value, whether it's professional or personal, and then leveraging that across a variety of different platforms. And it's also about building a consistent message and image for a specific goal that they're trying to reach. In this way, individuals can enhance their recognition as experts in their field, build their reputation, and also build their credibility in order to advance their careers and also to build self-confidence. So in a nutshell, Jonathan, I say personal branding is all about perception. And, of course, we all know perception is reality.
Yeah. And so why is that important to our career? Why do we really need to focus on this personal branding?
Well, I wanted to say first that the term personal brand first appeared in a magazine, I don't know if you've heard of it, called The Fast Company. And it appeared in 1997, and it was written by an author named Tom Peters. And he wrote an article called The Brand Called You. And basically what he said, that we are the CEOs of our own companies, Me, Inc., which is really funny, because I always think of myself when I'm building my own personal brand, I think of myself as the company, Me, Inc. So I thought that was pretty funny that he would mention that way back in 1997. So as CEOs of our own companies, we must take care to leverage our brands in most effective ways to reach our goals. So basically how we present ourselves, how we interact with others, and how we leverage our expertise for a specific purpose of growing, serving, and working with others. In order to build a personal brand, we must be true to our core values, what we believe, what matters most to us, and what's important to our lives. So all of this directly translates to developing and building our personal brand. So it's extremely important to our careers if we want to move forward. But we have to first understand who we are at our core first.
And Fast Company certainly has a good brand.
Yeah, the Fast Company magazine. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. So tell us some more about just expand on that, about what the impact is for our career, how that works for us when we're moving to the next level.
Well, in order to, you mean how do we determine our personal brand?
Yeah, how do we determine our personal brand?
What I normally tell my clients, I usually base things off of what I call a brand formula. And everyone should use this brand formula in determining their personal brand. Now, they're based on 10 points, but today I'm going to give you 3 of them. So the first one is that we should do a brand audit. Now, what is a brand audit? It is basically how our partners, customers, clients, coworkers, how they perceive us. How are we perceived in the world, and also getting their recommendations for any changes that we need to make in ourselves. We may think of ourselves, how we present ourselves in the world, one way, but again, perception is reality. So it's really important that we take the time out and talk to our different stakeholders and get their assessment of how we're being perceived. Now, what I do with a lot of my clients is I ask them to do a 360 evaluation form. And for those of you who do not know what a 360 evaluation is, these are forms that you will give to your key stakeholders, whether it's your boss, your coworkers, your clients, your vendors, anyone that you work with on a regular basis. And you will give them this evaluation form to evaluate you on your performance, your skill level, your personality traits, everything that is associated with you. You want to get a complete, do a complete 360 evaluation form. Now, I don't like people to, you know, get upset or get frightened regarding these 360 evaluation forms. They're just simply for your information, so that you can know whether or not there's changes that need to be made. So I recommend a 360 evaluation as part of your brand audit. And then the second thing is that I recommend is to develop a brand architecture. And what that is that you are defining your personal brand's value proposition and basically prioritizing your what we call in branding your features and your benefits. Now, for your personal brand, it's basically determining what your purpose is. I cannot tell you the number of people who do not know what they are here to do, what their purpose is, what do they value. I take the time to really understand what my values are, my personal values, my professional values, because that translates directly to our personal brands. And then I also recommend, in terms of building your brand architecture, is determining your strengths, and as well as your weaknesses. you want to get clear about what your weaknesses are so that you know how to improve upon them or be able to magnify or leverage your strengths even more and then get support from people that can help you in areas where you might be weak or deficient in. And also part of your brand architecture is defining what your talents are, your expertise. And then finally, determining your target audience. Your target audience can be any particular group of people that you're working with. As a business owner, my target audience are professional corporate women in the entertainment industry. So I make sure that I surround myself doing programs and speaking engagements and writing articles and things like that directly speaks to my target audience. If you are you work in corporate America and you have a field, it might be your particular industry. If you're trying to advance in your career, it might your target audience might be maybe that those people that are maybe that next level up in your career. If you're a director and you're trying to be a VP, then you want to maybe surround yourselves with other VPs and such as that. And then the third thing is creating your brand strategy. So what you want to do is you want to complete your brand architecture, and then you want to define, narrow that down to a single idea of what your personal brand stands for. And you want to select, you know, and determine your personality traits based on that brand, architecture. And then, and where this comes down to is determining your core message, your key message, what you stand for, who you are, what you're about. And then you want to be able to present that to the world. And then once you determine that, then you want to look at the different tools that that can help you showcase and leverage that brand. So like I talk to my clients about social media, using social media tools, writing articles, blogging, giving presentations, doing workshops like this, being a keynote speaker, anywhere, any place where you can actually showcase and leverage your personal brand. The key is being very, very consistent.
Good.
I know I said a lot there, but.
That's a lot of good stuff. I'm going to cycle back onto a few of these. But before I do, for those coming, jumped in the call a little late, just to let you know, I'm in calling in from Maui, so that's why the birds are in the background. I'm also at a coffee shop, and it turns out that it's a popular place, and as usual, people are gathering around me making noise. So I apologize for the background noise, but that's what happens. But anyway, Gene, I did want to cycle back to the 360 form. Where can you expand on that a little bit? Where can people get that through you, or where is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I put together 360 evaluation forms for my clients. Also, if you work in corporate America and if you're at a certain level in your career, most HR departments will do a 360 evaluation if you request it. If you are a small business or you're an individual and you want someone to create a 360 evaluation form, I can certainly do that. You can also build your questions yourself based on information that you specifically want to know. The key is to be very open and honest with your questions. You just don't want to put questions and answers that you want to hear. You really want to get open and honest feedback from your key stakeholders so you can know how your brand is being perceived in the world so you could be true to any changes that you need to make. Also, I forgot to mention regarding doing the brand audit, you definitely want to do something. I know a lot of people, they Google their names. I know you've Googled your name, Jonathan, and I'm sure a lot of people have Googled their names before. But what people do not seem to do is to create an alert, a Google alert for their name. Because once you create an alert, any type of information, good, bad, or indifferent, that comes up regarding you, you're able to get that information in an email and be able to review that. And if there's any action that you need to take on that, you'll be able to do it. But it's really important that you be proactive about, managing and understanding by doing this brand audit.
Of course, you and I both have famous names, so.
Right, exactly. Well, see, here's the difference with me. See, yeah, I'm Gina Davis, but I use my middle name, Gina Yvette Davis. And I do that because I have such a famous name. If you just type in Gina Davis, then you'll get a lot of things about the actress. But you use Gina Yvette Davis, Y-U-V-E-T-T-E, Davis, then you'll be able to get everything there is on me. So if you do have a famous name or a very unique name, you know, put your middle initial or your middle name or senior, junior, whatever, at the end so that people are able to find you.
Yeah, good. Then let's move forward a little bit. You mentioned on the social media side, what are some social networks, what social networks work for, say, a person's personal brand, my personal brand, your personal brand?
Right. Well, depending on your background, your expertise, what it is that you're trying to do, you want to choose a social network that supports your brand's objective. What is your goal and objective? What is it that you're trying to achieve? So you want to choose a social network that directly relates and correlates with your personal brand. For example, your brand is always about marketing yourself and positioning yourself in the best light possible. And so if I'm marketing myself as an expert in my field in personal branding and career and business coaching, I use LinkedIn. A lot of people use LinkedIn as a tool to present their expertise and their careers, but there's so many more tools within LinkedIn that you can actually use to leverage yourself as an expert. For example, there are groups that you can join, there are groups that you can start, and you can actually pose questions on those groups and ask questions on those groups and get people to follow you on those groups. And then you're able to leverage yourself as an expert. Another social media tool that I always recommend for people to do, and they're marketing themselves as an expert in their field, is to use tools like Yahoo Answers or Answers.com, where you would go in and you would read the different questions that are being posed. And if you're an expert in that particular with that particular question, you would go in there and you would answer those questions. And that's another great way of managing, marketing yourself as an expert in your field. And also how I get a lot of my clients is that, you know, I write articles for blogs and other different websites, and I present those articles and I distribute them throughout the web, and I use that as a way to leverage myself to get me a higher SEO ranking. And also to build that reputation in personal branding and marketing and career and business coaching. So there's, depending on your expertise, you want to really evaluate the different platforms that are out there. And if it directly relates to your expertise or your background and it reaches the audience that you're interested in serving, you definitely want to utilize that particular social platform more than others. So for me, I'll use LinkedIn, and I may use YouTube as my two social media platforms because I want people to be able to see me in action when I'm speaking, when I'm doing training and things like that. And then I use my LinkedIn to answer questions. I have a group that I manage on LinkedIn called Executive Women in Training, and it's for women who are trying to get to the next level in their careers. They're directors trying to get to the C-suite, the CMOs, CEOs, CFOs, and I post questions. We start discussions, and it's a wonderful way of building building and leveraging that expertise and getting your message out to a wider audience. So it's a great way to strengthen your brand, definitely, by utilizing these social networks.
Yeah, I know that you know quite a bit about using social media and leverage social media well.
As a matter of fact, I do a lot of training in social media. I teach introduction to social media and really help people to put together, determine which social media platforms are best for them, help them create a strategy, and help them utilize social media to really market themselves in meaningful ways. It's mostly for people who are just kind of getting into social media. They don't know quite where to go, how to do it. It seems a little frightening to them. It can be a little daunting. Well, actually, it can be a lot of daunting because you have to stay consistent with your social networks and your social media. It's not something that you should put up and leave. It's something where you have to really consistently engage with your audience. And social media is very, very connected. It goes hand in hand with building your social brand. So it's really important that you engage and connect and interact with your audience on a regular basis. That's how you strengthen your brand. That's how you build your credibility.
Good. So how can I say, or the caller, listener to this program, how can we manage our personal brand? What are some things that we can do?
Well, I want to give you just a few things that you can do to manage your personal brand. The first thing I suggest is to really be clear about the image you tend to project out into the world. If you feel that you are a bubbly, charismatic individual, then you want to make sure that you project that always, no matter where you are, no matter who you're around. If you have more than one message, if you're bubbly and charismatic one day and then the next day you're crabby and cranky, then you're going to be confusing people about who you really are. I know that for me, I used to have this image that I was unapproachable. And I always thought that I was a very approachable person. So I had to really determine, do I want to be an approachable person? Do I want to be someone that people can come to, ask questions, be open and authentic with? The answer was yes. So I had to, whenever I stepped outside my door, I always projected an image of being open, being approachable, being helpful, being authentic with everyone I meet. And then that helped me build a consistent image. So now when people see me, meet me, or talk to me, then the image that they see is someone who is confident, articulate, someone who is approachable and authentic. That's what's really important. So you want to be clear about your message. And then you want to make sure that your brand message, no matter what it is consistent amongst all your platforms. So if you are speaking at a luncheon and you're very polished and you're very conservative and you're presenting a message that says that you mean business, but somebody goes on your Facebook page and they see a picture of you dancing on top of a table with a lampshade over your head, then that is a problem. So your image, it has to be consistent, and you have to be in sync in your social media, in how you present yourself out into the world, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third thing is you want to back up any, objective statements that you make, any broad statements, with objective proof. So you want to show numbers, dates, times. You want to back anything up you say with facts so that it's just not something that's just coming off the top of your head. If it is something that you feel strongly about, then say so, of course. But if you are dealing with statistical information, numbers, dates, times, you definitely want to be able to back up those claims. And then finally, you want to keep it brief. What I've always read, be brief. What is it? Be brief, be gone. Be brief, be seated. You want to be able to state your value proposition, who you are, in a succinct and concise manner. Can you tell people who you are and what you stand for in 10 words or less? If not, you might run the risk of being forgettable, and that could be the death of any brand. The goal of the brand is to be memorable. If you have one key word one phrase that people can remember you by. You know, we all know Jamie Swindell, Mr. Lifestyle. I mean, that's his phrase, Mr. Lifestyle. Everybody, if they don't know anything else about him, they know that name, and that name is memorable, and then that, you know, then everything else starts to come back. So you want to define yourself and your value proposition and who you are at your core in as few words as possible.
So I'm thinking about the consistency, because that's there's a problem in social media is we have our professional brand or whatever, and then people are tagging pictures from us and maybe not necessarily dancing on the table of the lampshade, but certainly in different spaces. And
well, it's all about how you want to present yourself. It's definitely how you want to present yourself. You don't want to put anything out there on the World Wide Web, especially in social networks, that's going to contradict who your brand is. I don't allow, you know, people, not to say that I have, you know, I have plenty of pictures of me with my friends and everything, but it's consistent to who I am. So I'm not going to allow anybody or not going to put out anything on my Facebook page, on my LinkedIn page that's going to contradict who I am at my core. It's all about being yourself. If you are a lively, you know, happy-go-lucky, fun-loving speaker, then you be that all the way through. It's going to show up in your Facebook page. It's going to show up on your LinkedIn. It's going to be that way consistently. But don't be one way in one vantage point, then be somebody totally different. Again, that you know counteracts who your brand is. And I believe in being consistent. If you're one way at work, you want to be the same way in other situations as well.
Good. And then let's unpack this a little bit on the keeping it short. You mentioned Jamie Swindell's Mr. Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. How about some of the rest of us? It might not come that easy to bring it down to just a Mr. Something. We certainly don't want to copy. You know, we wouldn't want to copy somebody else.
No, it's really important that you. Right. It's very important that you do not copy yourself. It's based on who you are at your core. What is it that you value? What is important to you? And what resonates? And it could be anything. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be down to a single name, but it could be based on, you know, you could be, I don't know, the love doctor, you know, or you could be, someone who helps people live to their fullest potential. It could be any type of phrase, but it's got to be based on who you are at your core value. When somebody says, well, who you are and who are you and what you stand for, you want to be able to say, I help people do this. I am this type of consultant. I am, you know, you want to be able to just basically say, and it encapsulates, you know, basically who you are at your core. And it could be, you know, in business or in your personal life.
Mm-hmm. Good. And then so establishing it and believing it's one thing, then we need to start reaching out. And, I mean, besides necessarily social media, how can we reach out and make sure that brand gets out there and extends beyond just sitting at home in our living room, let's say?
Well, again, you want to, you definitely don't want to sit at home. You definitely want to consistently be leveraging your personal brand. Again, writing articles. Again, participating in workshops and seminars, mentoring and helping others, supporting others in their goals and objectives. That's another way of building your personal brand. Being authentic, being truthful, being having a great personality, being approachable, all of those things you can do to build and strengthen and leverage and extend out your personal brand. It's how other people interact with you, how you interact with others. the loyalty that you build, you know, all of those different things. I also had put together just, you know, 5 tips on branding, you know, for leadership. And, you know, I can definitely go through those.
Yeah, I'll share those. Mm-hmm.
What'd you say, Jonathan?
Yeah, let's
okay.
5 tips.
Yeah, so the 5 tips. So the 5 tips for leveraging your brand in leadership. Now, these are for people who are in corporate America. You may have your own business. You may be starting your own business. But these are things that I like to suggest, and others have suggested too. The first thing is own your brand. If you don't believe in your brand, nobody else is going to believe in it. So you need to be able to own it. You know, if you are, you know, cocky and, you know, overly confident, but that's who you are at your core level, then you be that. You know, you don't have to change for anybody. If that's what works for you, then you definitely want to own your brand. So you want to basically leverage that authentic personality in order to attract people, projects, and opportunities that are right for you and where you can provide the best value. So own it. You know, one of my best friends always says, do you, do you. That's the key to personal branding. The second thing is that you want to be able to empower your people. You want to empower your stakeholders, your coworkers, your staff, your teams, people that you work with, and allow them to support you by openly discussing your message. Some people don't want others to talk about their brand, so to speak, because they feel that they're losing control over their message. They want to keep strict control of your message. But we all know in social media, it's not like that at all. You're no longer in control of your message. Your users, your readers are in control of your message. And so you want to keep that same thought process when you're dealing, you know, and interacting with people one-on-one, live in live situations. So you want to get these people to support and openly share your message. And when you're doing this, you're creating brand ambassadors, and you're also extending your brand out even further because you have these brand ambassadors championing your brand on your behalf, which is definitely a good thing. And then the third thing is that leverage your title. So many times people are so modest. They don't want to leverage that title for anything. But definitely be bold, as Monica has said before. You know, be bold and be able to leverage your title. The higher you go up in your career, you want to leverage that title in order to gain exposure for yourself and your business and your company as much as possible. When people see that you're the CEO of this company or you're the executive director of that company and you have this expertise, it keeps people interested. It keeps people wanting to follow you. And then the fourth thing is create a strong team. This is very important. You have to have people that have your back. You cannot be successful without these strong people behind you. And you definitely want to have, and we've heard this so many times before, but it's worth repeating, that you want to have people on your team that have expertise where you do not. So if you're not good in a certain area, say you're not good at, you know, the finance or sales or things like that, but you're the CEO or you're the owner of your company, you want to bring people in that has strong expertise in that because those people are going to be the ones that are going to have your back. Also, you want to have people that have that is on your team that has different opinions than you do, people that can look at things differently and not always agree with you. It might be a pain, it might be irritating, it might be aggravating, but it's definitely necessary in order to you to have a well-rounded objective or perspective when you're out positioning yourself out into the world. And that just helps strengthen your brand also because it makes you authentic. And then finally, I tell people, become a thought leader. And, you know, the more you publicize your ideas, your thoughts, you write articles, you write books, and you give presentations, the better you can capitalize on them in the long run. So these are just a few little branding tips for leaders who are looking to take their brand to that very next level.
Yeah, when I looking at your list there from a speakerpreneur standpoint, because what we found, Monica and I found working with a lot of people on the speaking side is, yeah, we tend to be these lone wolves out here fighting all by ourselves. And so when I'm looking through this, and even those building a team, I think that's really important, empowering the team and having other folks. It's something that a lot of us are missing, especially if we have this idea of competitiveness out there.
You know, that's so true. As a matter of fact, I am writing an article on for Toastmasters International, as a matter of fact, on collaboration amongst districts. And I was putting some thoughts down on how it's really important to, you know, put together great collaborations, because you're able to meet your goals even quicker and even faster. And if you have a common goal, and that's the really crux of the whole thing, what is your goal? What is your end result? If you and the people that you're collaborating with, if you guys can agree on what that end goal is, and then work together around that common goal, then you could pull together some great collaborations and build some really great teams. Because if you don't have a goal, if you're just kind of out there saying, well, I want to do this and I want to do that, and other people will start to develop their own agenda. But you have that common goal and you keep repeating that goal throughout your process, then everybody wins. Everybody wins in the long run.
Yeah, really true.
But it's very difficult. It's very difficult because people do have their own agendas. But in collaborations, you want to be able to understand each person's individual agenda. You have your common goal. You understand each person's individual agenda. And then you try to figure out together how can you leverage and meet each individual's personal agenda in order to reach and meet that common goal. So you just kind of intertwine all of those things. But those conversations need to be had up front.
And then I'd also encourage folks that are out there, there's a tipping point in your career, especially if you're out on your own as a speakerpreneur or something, that it's time to start getting other people to help you and you said experts, where you are not, but even where should you be focusing your time and attention on the writing side? Because as many of you know, I'm a ghostwriter and editor and publisher of books. And it was that step where to let it go, I don't have to be the proofreader. I can hire proofreaders. I don't have to be the layout person. I can hire layout people. And it's the same thing on the speaking side. Monica and I just brought on an assistant for B events, and it's something we should have done a lot sooner, so that it allows us. And she was at the helping us, very pivotal person in the Dallas Mega Weekend. And it's important to have that, not only just on the help side of things, but she now is the brand ambassador. She gets us, and she knows what we're about. And I highly encourage folks to get that support, even if it's on a part-time basis, just onesie twosies here and there or something. But
you're right. You can't be successful without a team. It's just not. It's not possible. I mean, you burn out. You get frustrated. You give up easily. But if you have a team, I started off with a virtual assistant. I still have her to this day. She's excellent. She not only puts my calendars together and keeps me organized, but she's real strategic as well. And, I can run things or ideas by her, and she tells me what she thinks. She really gets me. I have a fabulous graphic designer that I work with. She does all my flyers. She does all my marketing materials. I have a great web designer. I have a marketing person that I work with. And then I'm part of some fantastic organizations that I'm a member of. And with those organizations, they help leverage my business and leverage me and give me good advice. And I have coaches. I mean, coaches need coaches. So you have all of these people that surround you and understand you and help you to leverage that personal brand and take it even higher than you can ever manage, ever imagine. It's a really good thing. So having a strong team that doesn't think like you, that's not you, but understands you, and has they genuinely want to help you get to that next level, that is the key. And then with other people who have their own agendas, if you can agree on a common goal of what you want, what they want, what you need, what they need, there's some beautiful collaborations that have happened. There's plenty of examples of that where people have actually used these collaborations and these teams, and they've done some great things, some magnificent things together. No one does this alone. That's the key.
And let's look at back to becoming a thought leader. I'm just trying to think of that for folks. You know, it's one thing to write articles. How do we get them out there? Where do they? What would be some tips you might recommendations you might have for establishing yourself as a thought leader?
Well, again, there's a couple of things. Again, on LinkedIn, on the LinkedIn groups, that is a great way to start becoming a thought leader. You jump on and you join some of the groups there. I cannot believe so many people are on LinkedIn and they're not a part of any groups. So you definitely want to get on and be a member of some of these groups that are key to your particular business. And you jump on there and you start answering questions. You make comments. You give your thoughts and ideas and opinions on a particular topic or a particular subject. That's the quickest way to start developing yourself as a thought leader. Also with the organizations that you're a part of, I'm a member of Professional Coaches, Mentors, and Advisors, and I write for their blog. I write articles. I'm also a member of an organization called WomenCentric.com, and I write articles for them, and they tweet it out to their, you know, large membership base. And I also write for another site called examiner.com. And when I write these articles, and I write articles for my own blog as well, then I send them to ezinearticles.com, and I get them approved by ezinearticles.com, and then they send it out to various groups and organizations and cache it to Google. So when people are looking at particular topics that apply, then, you know, my articles might be, you know, ones or, you know, a couple of them that might come up in a particular segment. So the thing is that just to get it out there to as many groups as possible, the more you're connected with groups and websites and organizations, and the more you're involved with that, the better off you'll be able to get those articles and post those articles and become a thought leader. And then people, when they're reading your articles, when they're reading your blogs, and you're saying something of value that people are interested in, that people want to hear, then they're going to invite you. They're going to invite you to sit on their panel. They're going to invite you to come and speak at their organization. But the key is to get out there to as many people as possible. You're not going to be considered a thought leader if you're on LinkedIn and you're not talking, you're not posting articles, you're not answering questions. You're not going to be considered a thought leader if you're not putting yourself out there as such. If I say I'm a thought leader, then I'm going to, and every chance I get, I'm going to give my opinion about something.
Yeah. And that's what's important. And even on the speaking side, that's because anytime we stand in front of an audience, that's where we are. And that's really, if we start thinking of having those opportunities as a free gig every once in a while, because that's the way of establishing thought leader status, like, you know, say it's free at Rotarian, you know, for the Rotary or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's still establishing thought leaders.
Absolutely. You that, anywhere there's an audience that you can, you know, give a thought about something. Give your thoughts as it relates to whatever's going on in your industry, in your company, at your company, at someone else's company, or any time that you're able to have an audience and you're able to give your thoughts and opinions on something. And it's of value, and it gives people a pause to say, that's interesting. Then you're establishing yourself as a thought leader, I think.
Good stuff, right? So if we were to summarize, let's tie it back all together. What's when we're thinking of the personal brand, the first steps people need to take is, so what would you say?
Well, in order to strengthen your personal brand, and we've been talking about this, you know, throughout this last, 45 minutes, is to, again, engage, connect, interact on a regular basis. Always be authentic. Always be true to who you are at your core. And that's what people gravitate to. That's what people, that drives people to you, is being authentic. Always provide value. Always provide something that people can take away, no matter what it is. If you can give a person one thing that they could actually use and take away and actually start to implement right away, you have provided value to them. And then always be confident. I think people like to be around people who are confident, who know who they are, know what they stand for, good, bad, or indifferent, and they're true to themselves. And then always, and also I tell people, especially women business owners and women who are in corporate America, know your worth. Never put yourself on the bargain basement rack. Know who you are and whose you are is the key thing. And then, like my best friend always says, and I put this in at the end of all my talks, is do you. Do you. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to act like anybody else. You don't have to be like anybody else. When you're speaking, and since we're talking about speaking a little bit in terms of your personal brand, you don't have to speak like somebody else. You don't have to be like anybody else. All you can be is who you are. And when you put yourself out there as being who you are, that's value, and that's building that brand called you.
That's really good. I was just processing because, like I said, we had our Dallas Mega Weekend last weekend, and thinking about the message that I was saying is that the reason the B events is helpful is because people see two different styles, if you will, on the stage. So there's me and my presentation style and Monica's, and we're different. And where I get the opportunity, just because I haven't thought through it, because I kept saying, telling folks, take these principles, take these ideas and apply them to your style. Don't try and copy somebody else. And that's exactly what you're saying here, only at a different level, and that would have given it more meaning for those folks if they, you know, see it as a personal brand. How do you take what one person's doing and make it fit for your brand or be, was it, do you?
Yeah, do you,
so if they were doing you, and so, because I think that's a real danger, especially when people are starting out, is trying to find the magic formula and doing exactly what someone else did or trying to be them, and whether it's speaking skills, but certainly on the business side.
Yeah, when I first started in my career, I'm telling you, I was always trying to be what other people wanted me to be, and try to develop personalities of people that I admired, and all that did was it made me so inauthentic, and so not only as I projected this personality or this person that wasn't even me, it didn't even feel right, it didn't feel authentic, it didn't feel true, and people didn't take me seriously because I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And as soon as I got that, I mean, and I'm telling you, there are people who are in their 40s and 50s who still don't know who they are. So once I really got that point and decided I'm going to be Gina, I'm going to be who I am no matter what, people are, not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to accept you. But once you understand that and you're okay with that, you're gold. You're golden after that. So it's so hard because we want to impress so many people. We want people to like us. We want people to admire us. But once we know that that's not going to happen, people will admire us more because of the fact that we're being authentic and true to who we are. And that's what personal branding is all about. It's that perception, but that perception is based on something that is of truth. If you're projecting yourself in a certain way, that perception is going to be true. Okay. Now, again, there's going to be those naysayers out there. There are going to be those haters out there. And once you understand that, but you don't waver, you're going to be okay. I'm doing, just doing my little shameless plug here, Jonathan. I'm going to be doing a 6-week teleseminar on building your personal brand from scratch, from the ground up. And that's going to happen the third week in January. And it's for corporate women in the that are in the business that are looking to build and or strengthen their personal brand. And we're going to look at these different things. We're going to look at perceptions and insecurities and building and strengthening our brand and what that means and learning who we are and finding our purpose and all of those different things. So it's going to be a great teleseminar, and people will actually going to walk away with their personal brand strategy that they can actually start to implement out into the world. So it's going to be good. I'm offering that the third week in January. So if people want to know more about that, they can email me or visit my website, and I'll be sending out information about it.
Good. So, and what would that be? Share that with our.
My email address is Gina, G-E-N-A, at my, M-Y, true, T-R-U-E, synergy, synergy.com. And my website is www.mytruesynergy.com. And people can call me as well. And my number is 310-292-4948.
Those of you with questions, comments, you can unmute yourself by pressing *6. *6 will get you, will unmute you, and then by pressing *6 again, it'll remute you. So questions, comments, how would you like to contribute to the discussion on personal brand? *6 unmutes you. And while we're waiting, Gina, eventually you'll have to let some of us men in on this personal brand.
Of course. of course. I coach men as well as women. But my target audience is corporate women. See, I know who my audience is. So, but that doesn't mean that I can't coach men as well.
This is Rick, and you talked about having a Google alert. How do you get a Google alert?
How do you get a Google alert, or how do you create a Google alert?
How do you create a Google alert?
Okay, so what you do is you go into Google, you type in your name, you go into the, or you type in whatever is the topic that you're interested in. You go into the news part of Google, and then you scroll all the way down to the bottom, and it'll say create an alert on this particular topic. And you click on that, and then you type in your email address, and then you can determine whether or not you want to get those alerts, you know, once a day, once a week, once a month, whatever. And then those alerts will come into your email box on the designated time that you choose. And it can not only just be your name, you can also Google and create an alert on your company's name, your competition, other people. You can create a Google alert on just about anything you want.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You start stalking other people.
Exactly.
But also in your industry, if you're a very niche
The coaching industry, speaking industry, sure. Any particular topic you can create an alert for.
I want to go back and stress that point we were that you just made about knowing who your market is and focusing. And that is also, I think, a danger in business in general, not just folks getting started, is that want to reach out to all people. Do we want to? Sherry Darden, who was talking, she was one of the participants in the Dallas weekend, and so she was shooting her video, and her line's always, do you want to be Walmart, Macy's, or Nordstrom? And positioning yourself as one of those, where you get in trouble is if you try to be Walmart and Nordstrom at the same time, and to just be very, very focused.
She's absolutely right. It's really, when I first started off in my career, I wanted to be, when I had my marketing agency in 1999 when I started GDC, Gina Davis Communications, I was trying to be all things to all people, to all industries. And when you do that, you're doing all these things for all these people, but you become an expert in nothing in particular. And what you want to do is you want to be known for one thing, maybe two, but you want to be known for one thing. And that's the first thing. You don't want to, you know, especially when you're just starting off in business, be known for one thing where people are going to come to you for that one thing. Like I coach professional women in the entertainment industry. That's the one thing that I want to be known for. And that's where I drive all my marketing, all my networking, my articles, everything. It's geared towards that particular market, that scope. And then you also, with that, you want to be very, very niche-y. Create a niche for yourself, something that not everybody or a lot of people are doing. If I would have thought that or had that attitude years ago, I probably would have been, you know, a multimillionaire by now. I was trying to do so many different things because what was driving me, Jonathan, was fear. It was fear. I felt like if I only focus on one thing, then I might be missing out on all these other opportunities. And that is thinking in lack. You can't think in lack like that. When you think in lack, then you're going to get lack. But when you narrow your focus down to one thing and be very niche in that one thing, then all these doors start to open up. You get to be known for that one thing, and people start referring you because you're known for that one thing. And you can make twice as much more money being known for one particular thing than for, you know, 20 or 30 different things. Mm-hmm. So I completely agree with her on that regard.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Getting get a hold of Gina through, she's at mytruesynergy.com. And also want to, if you're interested in becoming a member of the Hive, in which case you'll receive a downloaded recording of not only this call, but all of our calls each week, so we don't, being here on Saturday, listening to the call is less important. You can listen to it on your own time in your own way. And there's many other benefits to the Hive. We have different offers that go out just to the Hive, like my compilation book that's coming out that's for Hive members only, and so on. So if you are interested in that, you can go to the beevents.biz, that's the letter B, events.biz, and register for the Hive there. We also have some other programs coming up, but a special offer with today's program is I put together four of our audio recordings that are centered around what Gina was talking about today, which is on the more on the marketing side, but also on the branding. And so there's four different programs in here. The first one is me, Jonathan Peters, doing my ooh to woo. This is one of my new branded concepts on attracting folks, pulling them toward us instead of forcing them toward us. And then Monica's program, and many of you have heard versions of this, is Target Your Sweet Spot, which is finding that. That's what we're just talking here at the end of the call, being very focused and finding out who not only wants you, but is going to pay money for you. And then I have a two-parter, and it was low-tech branding, part one and part two. And sure, it's important that we're on the social media side, but I think we often overlook the personal side of what how we present. So anyway, those four programs, for those of you listening to this program, we can put those together in one download for you, and that's for only $29. So for $29, you have all four programs. And also what I'm doing for the first six people, we can have a conversation. First six people ordering this, we'll have a half-hour conversation. You call me, and we'll talk about what on your brand side, what you want your brand to be like, some of your focus. Because I know, at least I went through this when I was setting up my brand, is that I just needed someone to bounce ideas off of and someone to say, yeah, maybe, or had you thought about. Okay, so half-hour conversation for the first six people. Go ahead, and you can email me at jpeters@beevents.biz, jpeters@beevents.biz, and or monica@beevents.biz, and get registered for this program. And anything else you want to can talk to us about, reach out to us. Either one of those addresses work. You can also go to beevents.biz website. And we would like to stay connected with everyone. So, again, want to thank everyone for being on today's call. And as we move forward throughout the week, focus on what you are becoming. Thank you, everyone.